Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our family are falling apart. We as a nation have totally forsaken.
Oh Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Heal our land. And we turn our faces back toward you.
To you. This is Pastor Leona Ross with Blog Talk Radio's If My People. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're doing the show a little bit late today. Please forgive me for my lateness at 2 p.m., but I promise you this word will be edifying to your soul. Today we're going to be talking about the promises of God. Our show is entitled Promises and Promises. And did you know that even in the abundance of sin, God's promises are still attainable? You know, sometimes we think, as we spoke last week when we talked about there is no fixing sin, only forgiveness. We talked about sometimes people think that they are so far out of the will of God that God can't even see them, that he can no longer bless them. Well, I came to tell you today that that is entirely not true. As long as there is breath in your body, blood's in your vein, you got a mouth to speak and a mind to think. God's promises are indeed attainable. But as always, first we're going to jump into some praise and worship music. Today we're going to be listening to John P. Key with Life and Favor, followed by Jermaine, Make a Way. Remember, this music is only for your listening pleasure. I do not own any of the rights. We'll be right back after these elections.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story.
You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I've come through.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
At my lowest point.
anguish and the guilt that consume me. Grateful I can tell it, for no more shall the shackles condemn me.
Just lift your hands and get a witness and say,
with Make a Way, and before him was John P. Key, Life and Favor. Yes, again, I am Pastor Leona Ross with Blog Talk Radio. This is If My People on Blog Talk Radio. Again, today we are talking about God's promises. And as we know, his promises are yes and amen to the glory of God in us. Amen. That is in Corinthians. So I ask the question that did you know that even in the abundance of sin, God's promises are still attainable? Did you know that? Many people think that just because they may be caught up in sin or they may not be living their best life, that indeed God is far from them. Indeed, the blessings are not for them. But I beg to differ, because God's word is faithful. And he is not a man that he should lie. So we're going to look at today, and that is from Numbers 23 and 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and he shall not do it? Or hath he spoken it, and shall he not make it good? So we're going to look at some of these promises, and we're going to go through the scriptures and see how they apply to us as believers in the word of God. So we're going to look at the life promises. We're going to look at his promises of peace. We're going to look at some of his promises of provision, some of his promises of health. Those are the four areas that we're going to cover. Why? Because those are some of the things that are important to us as men and women of God. You know, and even just as simple human beings, not even being men and women of God. Just if we're sick, the first thing we call out our saved friends, and we ask them to do what? Hey, pray for me. I'm sick. Hey, pray for me. I'm going through a struggle in my life. See, so we have those people around us when we're not saved or when we don't know the word of God that can intercede, get a prayer to the gates of heaven for us. So this is how that scripture applies, that God reigns on the just as well as the unjust, because those people who are standing in the gap while you are yet in sin, didn't I say, even in the abundance of sin, God's promises still apply? Because that person is praying for you, interceding for you. So God, on their behalf, answers the prayer. See? And what's the purpose? That you may see and know that God still loves you, that God cares about you. Yeah. He says, I have come that you may have life, and that more abundantly. Didn't I say that? That's what he said. See, I have come. Not the person there, but I have come. That's in John 10 and 10. He tells you that the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life. And not only life, but have it abundantly. That everything that you stand in need of, you have. Everything that you could possibly want, that you have, that abundant life. That there is, as it says in Acts 2, there is no life. I'm sorry, there is no lack. There is no lack. That's abundant life. Psalm 16 and 11, it says, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. That is abundant life. So what does God want? He wants you, or he desires for man to be back in the place which he ordained him to be in the first place. Remember in Genesis, he formed Adam, breathed life into him, and Adam walked closely with God. God came and spoke to him in the cool of the day to be in his presence. That's why Psalm 16:11 we just read, in your presence is fullness of joy. Do you remember when you first got saved? You remember that joy? You remember that excitement? You just wanted to tell everybody about this man, Jesus, because you were so full of joy, so excited. Something in your life, even though you may not have been able to put it into words, but you knew that something had changed about you. And you just wanted to share it. That is the fullness of joy in his presence, that life, that renewing of your spirit. See? You knew something had changed. Remember Romans says that he who comes in Christ is a what? New creation Christ Jesus, all things are passed away. See, so this is that newness that you feel in, that joy that you feel in, the very Spirit of God that has indwelled you now. So you just got to run and tell somebody. See, that's that life, that life-giving Spirit. See, and not only that, he promised you peace. Isaiah said, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. See? I just told you, Romans 8, he said, you become a new creation. You put a new mind and a new spirit that your thoughts, they now are no longer concerned about the things of this world. Now they are concerned about the things of Jesus Christ. See, this is why you want to run out and tell everybody about the Lord. Because you see the manifestation of his promises in your life, even though you may have thought that you are the worst person in the world, that you have committed so much sin that God wasn't even shining his sun on you anymore. And I don't mean the S-U-N, I mean the S-O-N. Jesus Christ died for every sin imaginable, unknowable, or doable to man. He died for all of them. And as we said last week, there is no degree of sin in God. There is no greater sin. There is just sin. Man is the only one that has degrees of sin. They said, oh, you're so bad. This is worse than that. No, it's not. In God's eyes, they're all equal. It is just sin. What is sin? It's just disobedience to God's word. It's not knowing God. Remember, we're all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. It took the blood of Jesus Christ to restore us back to the presence of God, because that is where he always wanted us to be. So when we think that, oh, God, I've done just this and that, no, God has always wanted you to be in his presence. He made you in his image. He knows, just as we said last week in Jeremiah 29 and 11, he knows the plans that he has for you. Good, to bring you peace, to prosper you, to bring you to an expected end. In other words, he wants you to be whom he purposed for you to be from the beginning. Whatever he spoke over your life, that is your purpose. That is what he called you to be. Not the things of this world, not the sins that you are caught up in, not anything that you have done. That is not who you are. That is a perception of who you are, because you are in a world that is sinful. But when you come into the knowledge of God, see, you come into a right relationship with God, you have the opportunity to fully access all of his promises. Yes, you have access. Yes, he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. And we're going to talk about that scripture a little bit later on, but we're talking about what God expected from us right now. See? Talking about having that peace of God, because we're in the presence of God. John 16 and 33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. See, he's telling you, listen, I know living this life is not easy, because you're in a fleshly body that has a carnal nature. And as Paul said, that whenever I desire to do good, evil is always present. Why? Because we know that the flesh wars against the Spirit of God. Your temptation, that's all it is. It's just temptation. But you got to remember that the blood of Christ gave us the power to resist all and any temptations, every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy. Yes, yes. It says in the scripture that you shall have tribulation, but don't get upset. Don't get too beaten down. Be of good cheer, because you know I'm with you. See, promises of God. You know that I will fight for you. You know that I have already died for these things. And as it says, I have overcome the world. So anything that is in this world I have already come, overcome it. All you got to do is seek my face. All you got to do is remember that I am in you and you are in me. And greater is he that is in you than he than what in the world. Promises. See? Promises. And when we remember that, we remember to be of good cheer and to trust in God. And what does it mean to be of good cheer? It means just to remember that I am God, that I am in you, and give me the thanks and give me the praise. Because the enemy cannot stand, evil cannot stand the praises of God. And when you remember that no matter what I'm going through, I'm still going to praise God, and I don't care what nobody else says, but I am going to praise God right now in the midst of this circumstance, in the midst of this situation. I'm just going to break out and give God a praise. Why? Because he told me to be of good cheer. He reminded me that he already overcame this situation. So why should I have a sad face? He told me in Philippians that he would give me the peace that passes all understanding, that it was going to keep my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus, not through anything that I'm going to do. That's Philippians 4 and 7. Not any great thing that I have done, but because of who he is working in my life. Remember, we started off with the scripture that said in 2 Corinthians that all the promises of God are in him, are yea and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Well, Pastor Ross, what does that mean as we talk about this peace scriptures here? That means that the glory of God shines through us because of his promises for us, in us, and about us. And when we stand on those promises, when we take God at his word, when we speak those things that are not as though they were, because we know that God is not a man that he should lie, when we start to speak the things in accordance with God's word for our life, we begin to see the manifestation of those promises working in our lives. And that's all it is. Simply speaking the word of God and letting that peace that passes all understanding envelop us. See? See? And not only that. And not only that. Romans 12 and 18. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Why? Because that same peace that we have, because God is dwelling in us and we are made in the image of God, see, then we ought to be able to take that same content, that same characteristic of God, and display it before all men. Not getting mad because somebody called you out your name and you're looking and you're looking at them and the first your thoughts might be or maybe I'm finna do something to you. No, that shouldn't be your first response if you are in God. If indeed you are in God, your first response should say, you know what, Lord, I'm not falling for this. I'm gonna maintain my peace in you and I'm gonna move on. God bless you and let them go on. Pray for that person. What did he say? He said, pray for those who despitefully use you. See? Remember, that word of prayer can do more than what you can physically do, because then you truly lay it at God's feet. He said, cast your burdens unto him. He didn't say, pick them up and try to figure it out yourself. And too many times, you know, we lose our peace. Because this is what we try to do. We try to take on the tasks that belong to God. We try to take them on for ourselves. And not once did he say that. Not once did he say, oh, this is what you need to do. No, 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 no. He said, you just need to obey him. You just need to walk in his righteousness and in his commandments. See? That's all he requires. He's not calling you to be perfect. Because you're only perfect in him and through him. But as long as you are in these fleshly bodies, believe you me, you are going to make some mistakes. But God is not holding that against you. See? He's not holding that against you. He said, in as much as possible, if it be as much as lies in you, to the greatest extent that you can. See? He knows sometimes you it's going to come to blows. Yeah, it's going to come to blows, whether it be words or whether it be with fists or what have you. He knows that. That's why he said, if it be possible, as much as you can stand. But his word still says there is no temptation on the man. See? That God didn't go through, that he can't help you through. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See? You ever been in a situation where somebody, your kids, your spouse, your coworker, whomever, they just said something or did something to upset you so much, and you were about to open your mouth or make a move to do something, and then a thought came to your mind, oh, I better not do that, I lose my job. You know what? I'm just going to take a deep breath, and it's going to be all right. See, that's the Holy Spirit. That's that unction. Nope. You remember, you belong to me. See, that's God telling you, nope. Remember, you belong to me. Can't do that. I'll take care of it. You got to show love. You got to have that unconditional love for the brethren, even when they don't know. Because how will unbelievers become believers if they don't see the characteristics of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who claim that we have a relationship with Christ? If they don't see those characteristics exhibited in us, how are we living? How are we standing on the promises of God? Not in just one area of our life, but in all areas of our life. See, how are we then to be wise to win souls? Because we don't want to do something foolish to say, oh, yeah, to give the word an opportunity to say, oh, yeah, I knew you wasn't saved for real. I knew you was just going to church. See? Because when we profess Christ, the world looks at us to have a higher standard, and which we should, and which we do. But as I said, there are those times, you know, where we might slip, where we might make a mistake. You know, we are not perfect. But what is the intent? God knows the very intent of our heart. We can go back, repent, and fix it with God. But at the end of the day, do we remember to fix it with our brother or with our sister? Do we go back and apologize? See, because remember, you're supposed to be walking around in the image of God and the character of Christ. Not negating your humanity, but your allegiance is with Christ and not with the world. You want to exhibit him at all times. Because his words say, through love and kindness have I drawn thee. Furthermore, 1 Corinthians 14:13, it says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. He's telling them, listen, ain't got to be no confusion in there. Whatever is going on, y'all need to settle it according to the word of God and live peaceably. Be an example. Remember, you are God's church. Remember, you are God's people. So we can't have certain things to happen in the body of Christ. It just ought not to be done. So it is important. So there is a responsibility as believers of the Lord Christ Jesus. We do have a responsibility, see? Because how will a sinner know if we act and we look like and we, you know, display the same behaviors of the world as they do? That's not going to make them want to come into a relationship with Christ. I'm not talking about just coming to church. I'm talking about coming into a relationship with Christ, that Christ may move and work in your life, that these promises operate to the utmost in your life. So much so that you look at it and say, I know that wasn't nobody but God, because ain't no way nobody could have got me out of this except God. We know that God answers the prayers of the saints on the behalf of the unrighteous. We know this. And as I said at the beginning, you know, this is why, you know, when calamity comes in our life, sickness comes in our life, we know that person that goes to church. We know that Christian. We know that pastor. We know somebody, and we call them up and we say, please pray for me. See? But it ought to be a demonstration of that authority, of that power, of that relationship in that person's life, that that sinner or that person that doesn't, or that unbeliever that doesn't know God said, okay, well, they prayed for me and God worked it out. I want to know about this guy. Come into the realization at some point in time, man, I'm still doing A, B, C, and D or whatever, but God is still moving on my behalf. Praise God. I need to know about this God that you serve. I need to know just a little bit more. See, because, you know, I don't even go to church, or I ain't even saved. But yet when I was sick, I called you, you prayed, and God still healed me. I need to know more about him to the glory of God. His promises are yes and amen to the glory of God by us. But how are we living with these promises? Are we respecting the promises, taking full advantage of the promises, that others may see and know that God loves and God cares about them more than they could even think or imagine? John 16 and 13, still talking about the peace. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Jeremiah 33 and 6, behold, I will bring it, health and cure, and I will cure them, and I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Even in the Old Testament, we see the promises of peace. We see the promises of cure. Why? Because the same God that was in the Old Testament is the same God in the New Testament. The New Testament is just a new covenant, taking them away from the law when Christ Jesus died on the cross for the remission of our sin. So we no longer needed a priest to go into the holies of holies, carrying the sins of the people on them to make the sacrifices and to make their petitions known unto God. Now through Christ Jesus, he as our mediator, he as our intercessor before Jehovah God, said, nope, Father, I already died for that sin, so they are already forgiven. So when God looks at sinful man, he sees his son, who was the remission for each and every person's sin. So they can now come boldly before the throne, even as a sinner, come boldly before the throne and make their petitions known, that God begins to shine in their lives and begin to transform them into the image that he created them to be in the first place. That is what Christ did for us. He opened that doorway that we can go for ourselves, that we didn't have to settle for less than what God has promised us, that we don't have to settle for mediocre, that we can have the abundance. See? Remember, he said, I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. So don't just settle for the mediocre. Don't just settle for that which you just think is good enough, because what you think is good enough and what God thinks is good enough is totally on two different realms of reality. See? He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. How I might do it ain't the way that you might do it. And how I see it is not the way that you're going to see it. Because remember, Hebrews 11:1, we walk by faith and not by sight. Because the way we see things, you know, that's just our carnal nature looking at things. But in the spiritual realm, it may be flipped up, turned upside down, all different kinds of ways that you can't even fathom. We've all been there. Some of us might be there right now, God operating in our life, and we don't understand why, or we don't understand how it turned out. All we know, yeah, that was God. We can't even put our hands and minds a thought on it. All we know is that it was God, because ain't no way that I could do it. Ain't no way that I could accomplish, but God, you did that, and we ought to give him the praise. Because we see the evidence. We are the evidence. We are walking testimonies to the glory and promises of God in our life. So we ought to be telling everybody about it. This is how we apply the promises of God. This is how we apply it to our life. It is God who does the work, but it is us who give the testimony. Not keep it to ourselves, because other people need to know. Why are you praying for those people on your prayer list who are not saved? Are you giving them the testimony, allowing them to see the glory of God in you, giving them the earthly evidence that God will answer prayer? Are you following up with them after you pray for them? Say, hey, how's that situation you asked me to pray about? Because most times people are not going to voluntarily tell you. But you are looking, you are praying in great expectation that what you pray for, because you are a believer, because you have the evidence, and you are the evidence that you are believing that God is indeed, he is indeed going to do what you prayed for. You're not, your words are not amiss. You're not praying in vain. You expecting the manifestation of your prayer to be relevant in the earth. So you expect that person to be healed. You expect that person to prosper. You expect that person to be free. You expect that person to have life, and that more abundantly. Because you pray. You believe. Not because of any great thing that you have done, but because of what the word of God has promised you. Let's talk about the promises of health. Exodus 15:26, he said, and if thou would diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought unto the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Talking to the Israelites. Now listen, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is what you've been through. You've seen what I can do in my wrath. But I won't do any of these things to you if you hear me, if you obey me, if you give ear to my commandments. Because I am the Lord God that healeth thee. So you don't need to fear these things. Exodus 23:25, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and will take sickness away from the midst of thee, even the things that you eat. He said he's going to bless it. See, remember in Acts, Peter was on the top of the building, and he rolled out all these scrolls with all these animals on, and Peter said, no, I sure, he told Peter to kill and eat, and Peter said, no, I ain't. I ain't, because no unclean thing has ever touched my body. He did that 3 times, and finally God spoke to him this scripture right here. He said, don't you call anything that the Lord has cleansed unclean. See, And that's how our carnal, our minds are sometimes. We think that the things that God give us means that he's trying to harm us. But he said he going to bless it. He going to bless your bread and your water, anything that you eat. It's not going to bring any harm to you. That's why it's important when we say a prayer over our food. That same word of God that when we're praying for healing, when we're praying for finances, or whatever that we're praying, when we pray over our food, and we can believe for all that other stuff, you say, I can't eat that. I'm gaining 50 pounds. I can't eat that. But did you pray? No side effects, no harmful things come into your body. See, remember, the promises of God are yes and amen to the glory of God in us. But what are we praying? What are we saying? Are we believing it? Are we taking God at his word? Are we standing on his promise because we know that God is not a man, that he can lie? That is his faithfulness in us to the fullest, not just partially. And sometimes that's how we get caught up because we think, oh, what did you say? No, don't say that. What did you just pray? Because we'll speak contrary to what God has, to what we just prayed. And we pray, God bless this food. You know, let it be nourishment for my body as your word is nourishment for my soul. Let no harmful thing come to us in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And then we say, I can't eat that. It's about to add pounds to my hips. You just negated the prayer that you just prayed. Amen. See? But we don't think that way. That's why God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. It's just agreeing with God's word, with God's promises for our life, and beginning to live in that fashion. I know it takes a mind transformation. But God is the only one that can do that. But are we praying for that? See, when we totally give it all over to him without doubt, without skepticism, and truly, really standing on his promises and not aggregating them and confessing them in one breath and then negating them in the next breath. John 1:2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prosper. Even as, I don't want you just to have money, but I want you to have money. I want you to have wealth. I want you to have a good life. But I also want you to have good health so that you can enjoy that good life. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all aspects. Remember, God is a God of completion. He don't do anything halfway. Remember, he said, I have promised you life and that more abundantly, because that encompasses every area of your life. God does not limit how he will bless us. We are the ones that limit how we accept the blessings. I don't believe God will do that. I don't think God will do that for me. Why? Didn't he say it? Doesn't the Bible say that God have no respect to persons? So why don't you think God will do that for you? Just because you haven't seen it yet doesn't mean it's not possible. And the one thing that we really have to understand is that God is not on our time. He is not on our time. He does it in his own perfect timing. Sometimes it may be that, okay, you got to stay there for a little while because I'm molding you, I'm shaping you for the things that are coming ahead of you. I'm making you stronger so you can look back on this situation. You can look back on this circumstance and say, oh, yeah, God was there for me then. Or, oh, yeah, I recognize that. I recognize you, Satan. You came at me before like this. But God. See? So you stay in there. And as we read earlier in the scripture, be of good cheer. His word says he will never leave nor forsake us. So why should we feel bad if we know that God has already worked it out in our favor? And that's the thing. We have to know. We can't doubt. We can't be wavering. We can't be, you know, hopping on the fence this day and believing God and hopping back on the other side and because it's another different situation. But if he worked it out over there, don't you think that God is the same God and he's powerful enough to work it out over here? And stop listening to the naysayers. Your path of life or your purpose in God is not the same as anybody else's. Just because something didn't work for them don't mean that it's not going to work for you. What God is taking them through, whatever trials, tribulations, whatever blessing is for them. Remember, what is for me, what God has for me is for me. We focus sometimes on other people's problems, on other people's blessings, on other people's situation, and we want to apply that to our life. And God never meant for us to do any of that. He says, stay focused on him, not on people. He is the giver of life. He is the author and finisher of your faith, not what people say. Like my grandma used to tell me all the time, hey, I ain't got a heaven out here to put you in. The Bible says, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. So there's no need for us to be looking across the fence thinking that the grass is greener. And then we hop across there and realize that it's dead. That what we had in our own yard is sufficient. My grandma used to say, you know, your eyes bigger than your belly. You put all this food on your plate. You want all this stuff. You get all this stuff. And then when you get it, you realize that you're not mentally or emotionally able to handle it. You only wanted it because you saw somebody else with it. You were not happy. You were not content with what God had promised and provided for your life. I'm looking at how God is blessing somebody else. Be grateful. Be thankful for that which he has put on your plate. Because I promise you, it is more than sufficient for you. Then remember, you don't think like man. He does not think like man. See? Not wondering why. Psalms 107 and 17 through 20. And this brings us back when I said, you know, people call you to pray for you. It says, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted, meaning they are sick. The soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word, and he healed them and delivered them from all of their destruction. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifices, the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his work with rejoicing. See? That's what I said earlier. God is now, he heard your cry. He healed you. See? Praise his name for his wonderful works. Tell somebody what he has done for you. Give thanksgiving. Declare his work. The great commandment was to go ye into all the earth and preach this gospel. That's what he said. We know that people who don't know God, they don't know anything about walking by faith and not by sight. So they're looking for evidence. They're looking to see something. And if they knew you in the state that you were in before, how much more so will they not believe when they see you even in a better state? They knew you were at the doors of death. They knew that you had COVID as this pandemic continues to rage throughout the earth, and that you were on a respirator, and they was calling your family in and saying, oh, well, y'all better come in and say your last goodbyes. We can put you on Zoom or we can put you on a video or whatever, but you can't come in the presence because, you know, COVID, but then you recover. And you're back in good health. Or you had cancer. Stage 4. And everybody thought that you was out of here. Your family was crying. Everybody making funeral preparations. But lo and behold, God came in. Jehovah Rapha came in, showed up, corrected everything that was wrong about you, delivered you, as the Psalms say, from all of your destruction. And you know it was God. And you see people say, girl, I heard you was dead. Nope, I'm yet among the living. Praise God. People are going to talk. I thought you had such and such, and you still living? We hear all the time about children who are now adults, who were deathly ill. They tell them they had maladies or deformities or whatever, and they tell the parents, well, your baby's not going to live past this age or that age. And they grew up to have children and grandchildren of their own. Why? The promises of God. I know the plan. So it's not about what the doctors say. It's not about what man says. It's about the promises of God. That's what it is. See? But those are health promises. Remember, the next time you get sick, listen, God, I know you will heal. I know you can do it because this is what your word says. He said that he said that no longer will men need other people to say God said this or God said that, but he will write his words on our hearts. So when we begin to study his word, when we begin to look up the health promises and the peace promises and the life promises, and we begin to study and they become rooted and grounded in our spirit, anything that comes in those areas of our life, nobody can say that God won't do it because it's already ingrained in soul, body, and spirit. And no matter the outcome, we're still going to give God praise. We're still going to give God glory because he is great and he is faithful. And we are the very epitome of his character, the epitome of his image. We ought to want to be so close as it was with Elijah that he was just translated. He was just translated. How close you walk to God. And Elisha saw him taken up. He didn't have to suffer death. He just walked into the presence of God. Same as Enoch. He walked that close with God, believing his word, trusting him in all areas of his life. Final area we're going to talk about today, and believe me, by no means, these four areas of life, of peace, of health, this is just a fraction of the promises of God that are in the Bible, that are in his word. But finally today, our last promise is that we're going to talk about is provision. Psalms 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. If you delight yourself in me, delight yourself in me. He said in Matthew, put first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We know that all is inclusive of everything. All. He didn't need to differentiate. He said all. He said all. If you put my kingdom first, if you think about me, think about my statutes, think about my commandments, put them first, endeavor daily. And the most renowned provision song, Psalms 23. We all know it. We pray it. We quote it. The Psalm of David. It said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What is a shepherd? He takes care of the sheep. The sheep can't do anything for themselves, so they need a shepherd to take care of them. And once we recognize that that is who we are in Christ Jesus, that he indeed is our heavenly Father and our shepherd, that he, his whole purpose is to take care of us, I shall have no want. And then we know that he's a good shepherd. Those animals just can't go, you know, and shear themselves when their wool gets too heavy. No. Man has to come and shear that wool off of them. See? They have to come in and do that. They have to come in and feed them and take care of them. And that's the same way we should be about our Father which art in heaven. See? Verse 2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the sea. He's leading me. When I'm tired, he maketh me lie down in green pastures, not dead grass. See, so there's an abundance, so therefore I can eat and be nourished. If I'm thirsty, the water is there. And after I have drank and supped, then he restores my soul. He brings me back the strength that I've lost from the day's journey. See? But he doesn't do this for me. It says he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for who? For his name's sake, that he might be glorified in my life and that he might be glorified in the earth. See? Then say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear no evil, for you with me. That rod and that staff, they comfort me. You are with me. Your word is with me. Your Holy Spirit is with me. Your presence is with me, whether I may go. You are indeed with me, and I take comfort in that. Remember, be of good cheer. And even though calamity is going on around me, in 5 he said, there prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And even you anointed my head with oil and my cup running over. And I love this verse of this scripture, because he said, even though my enemies are all around me, you still taking care of me. My cup's still running over. You anointed my head with oil. You keeping my mind on you. You bringing the coolness, you know, to a hothead, because, you know, I know all these people are out to get me. But you causing me to lift up my head and remember to focus on you, that you have given me life and that more abundantly. So it don't matter what they do. And then he comes in and says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because I put his kingdom first and all of his righteousness. I remember from whence cometh my help. I don't have to be confused about what's going on in the world. I don't have to put so much credence in that, because I have the promises of God, because I have his purpose for my life. And at the end of the day, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because I have made God my strong tower. I have made God the head and soul, author and finisher of my life. Not just giving it lip service, but living it, endeavoring to live it daily. Because I understand the promises of God. I'm living by his statutes. I'm living by his law. I'm professing his word to all who will hear me. Letting other men know how good God is, that they may all too also obtain his promises, obtain this abundant life, live this righteousness and salvation through Christ Jesus. Because it's just not good enough for me, and it was never meant for only me. He said, go out into all the world, not some, but all. Everybody you know, when you're at the grocery store, when you're getting your car washed, when you're paying your bill. And the enemy knows this. This is why it is so much legislation. We see people all in the news now because they profess Christ at their job. Oh, you should fire them. It's a separation between government and church. Really? But you can go to a school board meeting, and they can pledge allegiance to a police, a red, white, and blue coffin, a cloth, a flag, and all uproar because nobody wants to do it. Or if they take a knee, everybody in uproar. But it's okay to pledge allegiance to this idol. But when you confess the word of God, oh, you need to be fired. Don't you see the problem with that? But it's all right. But if they stand up and say a prayer in the name of Jesus, people take offense. Oh, he going to invoke in the name of Jesus? Well, but you will believe in his flag. You will believe in a symbol of divisiveness. See? When you sing the so-called national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, which they never sing the last verse, that talks about how right it is for them to have slaves and the degradation therein. But it's okay. We laud those things, these things that have no meaning and have no benefit to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you'll set these things higher than the Lord God who created you. And you'll think it's okay. Or you'll give the characteristics of a sinful nature. You're getting rights. And say how wrong it is for anybody to speak against the sin that God says is an abomination to God. He said that is an abomination, that very act. He didn't say the people. He said the act. But this is what you want to lord. This is what you want to set up in God's face and say, oh, yeah, we can do this because it's right and it's what we want to do. But when we speak on the promises and the word of God, we're persecuted, but fear not. He's told you these things would be, that in the last and evil days, we would see these things. But recognize them and realize the power and authority that you have in his promises. He said, remember, what I have over the world. Finally, as we talk about this subject, we're going to go to Matthew 5:42-45. You know, therefore, as our Father which is in heaven makes no differentiation to whom he blesses, so too should we also support and encourage and edify each other. Matthew 5:42-45 say, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if we love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? So therefore, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And as we started out saying, it's not about what others do. It's about shining our light that others may see and know that the promises of God are yes and amen to the glory of God by us. Because if we don't proclaim this gospel, if we don't live in the characteristics and the image of our Father which art in heaven, then how can anybody see that light? How can anybody know that God is indeed real, that he loves his people, and that he is concerned about them? You may be the only evidence of the Lord Jesus Christ that people may see. So as you go through your day, as things aggravate you or what have you, remember, you might be the only light that somebody has in their lives. So live in a way. Live in the way that your Father may be proud. That your Father might be in heaven and say, yeah, that's my child. Bringing light to a dark place. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. No, we're not saying that. He said you're going to have troubles. But remember, be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world, so what you worrying about? I got you. See? I do hope that this word has been a blessing and edification to your soul. I hope you can take something away with it for this week. Again, we'll be back here again next week, 12 noon. I do apologize for the lateness today. But all in all, I do hope that this word has edified you, body, soul, and spirit, and that you are able to bless somebody this week. We're going to take you out of here with Jerron Nurse. As always, tell somebody about Jesus. Love you all. Be blessed in the name of Christ Jesus.
Allergic. But be careful like the devil and the skeptic, cause you might fall asleep but not notice. Make me just tell somebody about Jesus. That's what the whole world needs to know. I want to tell somebody about Jesus.